The second scripture reading today is from Matthew 11, 16 through 20, up on your screen, or 966 in the Pew Bible. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others. We play the flute for you. We do, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her actions. Then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles had been performed, because they did not repent. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Deb. I have continued on, if you remember, way back last year, a few weeks ago, we were dealing with parables, and I have just continued to be intrigued by all the parables, the stories that Jesus shares with us that are meant to teach us something. And today is likewise the case here. Whenever you see in the Bible where there's something said by Jesus and he says, this is like, you know, he's sharing a story about what something is like, and we need to listen to that sort of thing. Speaking about listening, how many times have you ever not been listening? I know my wife would tell me. If I'm watching sports or maybe even the news and she's asking me something, that until she really gets my attention, I'm not really listening. That's awful. How many of the times do you find yourself not really listening to the person that is talking to you? It may not be your spouse. It could be anyone, because you're already thinking about the thing that you want to say after they finish saying what they're saying. You know, we are not very good listeners sometimes. Or how many times have you been on the other end of that and you felt like you're not being heard? You're sharing whatever it is you're wanting to share, and you don't feel that you are really being heard. You're being tolerated. You're being, but that's about it. Nothing more than that. I feel like this is Jesus speaking to us and saying how many times he already in his life had been sharing and people had not really been listening. This text that we're talking about here this morning directly follows a text where John has sent some of his disciples to Jesus. He's in prison. And you know what his outcome was going to be. Not long after this, John was dead. Knowing that perhaps when he sent his disciples to Jesus, he wants to know for sure, are you really the one? Are you really the one that I've been talking about? I was the forerunner. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. We talked a little bit about John the Baptist, about preparing us as he was preparing those who were there then. And he wants to know for sure, you know, has everything that I've said been wasted? Has everything I've been talking about been something that has fallen on deaf ears? Has my life work basically been for naught? Or are you really the one that when we were there at the River Jordan and I baptized you and I shouldn't have because I felt, whoa, it's me. I mean, you're Jesus. You're the Son of God, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Should I have even done that sort of thing? And you said, go ahead. This guy, John the Baptist, is wondering. And of course, Jesus responds to these disciples as they come to him and he says, tell them. What's been going on? Tell them what's been going on. The deaf are hearing. The blind are seeing. Those who can't speak can speak. The dead are raised. A whole lot of stuff is going on. Tell them, tell him what you see, what you've witnessed. Just tell him. Yeah. I'm the one. This follows that. This text that we read this morning follows that a little bit. And I just wanted to go into it briefly this morning because I wonder how oftentimes we in the world today don't heed warnings. How many of you received that snow squall warning on Tuesday? On your phones, on your iPhones, you didn't receive it because you're way down south. But we heard it. Some of you didn't. You're looking at me rather confused. Well, there were several of us here in the church on that morning, and all of us received that sound, and we're like, whoa, what's that? And we all looked at our phones, and we said, snow squall warning. It's the first time I've ever seen a snow squall warning, which we never really got anyway, by the way. Here, I mean, I guess they got it south of us, and it was pretty bad. But, you know, I heeded that warning because it scared me half to death when I heard it. You know, here I'm in the calm of the church and that loud noise came. It's the same sound that you hear if any of you have ever had an Amber Alert on your phone. It was that same kind of sound. In fact, Deb, you were here, weren't you, when that happened? So I'm not just throwing that out there. It kind of freaked us out a little bit. What is this? This snow squall warning. That was a warning. Some would heed it, some wouldn't. Some would still head out in the weather and go and do whatever they're wanting to do. And some might suffer some consequences from doing that. But how often do we heed warnings? Health concerns never addressed. Oh, I can still eat the way I'm eating, even though they tell me I'm not supposed to. Bad habits that destroy our bodies. Oh, I'll just keep doing whatever I'm doing and not worry about it. Poor choices, maybe, that affect others. You think poor choices don't always just affect us. Sometimes poor choices affect other people as well. Or just ignoring wisdom. Wisdom that's shared with us verbally. Wisdom that's shared with us on the paper page. Especially the wisdom that's shared with us from the greatest book ever written. Sometimes we just don't heed warnings. Or we just say, as I have said to my wife before, you didn't tell me that. Yes, I did. How many times in our lives have we said, you didn't tell me that? And maybe God himself says, yes, I did. It's right there in front of you. I told you that. You didn't hear me. When I'm not listening to the Bible, nor God's still small voice, sometimes we just think, he didn't tell me that, but he did. You and I have selective hearing. We've heard that one before, don't we? It's not just husbands that have selective hearing. I think wives sometimes can have that too. I'm worse. But I think all of us have a little bit of that selective hearing, don't we? We hear what we want to hear, and we throw the rest away. I think we do that with God sometimes too, don't we? I don't mind the texts in God's Word that warn everybody else about the horrible things they do. I don't like the ones in God's Word that talk about the things I do. What about you? Huh? Yeah. We're kind of that way a little bit. And we just throw it off like, well, you weren't talking to me. You didn't tell me that. You know, Jesus and John both came to forewarn us. Both of them came to forewarn us. John came actually just a bit before Jesus to earth. John was here and John was sharing all these things and people were or were not listening to what John was saying. Jesus follows John and he's starting to do the same thing and he looks at the generations that are here and he says, oh my word. He didn't probably use those exact words, but something to that effect. This generation here is not listening and he uses this parable, this story to share how people are. To what can I compare this generation? They're like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to others. We played the flute for you and you didn't dance. We sing a dirge for you. You did not mourn. People who are not listening. I believe with all my heart we're not headed in the right direction without instruction from God. You get that? I don't believe we're ever headed in the right direction without instruction from God. I believe some people say there's nothing good in human beings whatsoever. I believe there's a little bit of goodness in there, because I believe when God created man and woman, and we created in the Garden of Eden, they said what he created was very good. Now, that very good that was created there was tainted by sin. And that's why when left to ourselves, we will default towards selfishness. We will default towards sinful tendencies, and left to ourselves, it will only get worse. What sin does. Culture will never give us godly instruction. And why some people think culture is wise? Because culture has experienced life. God created us. God gave us his word. Culture will never give us godly instruction. It's not ours to bend to what culture says. It's ours to uphold what God says. We are countercultural as a church, whether you realize it or not. We are. We should be. Don't be like those who didn't hear the dirge or those who didn't see the dance. The devil himself will say whatever is necessary to deceive us. I've told you that before too, didn't I? What he does is very appealing. God's word, as it says in Deuteronomy 32:1-4, I like the terminology that's there. God's word should fall like rain on us. I like that imagery. You know, the grass that needs the water, all the things around that need the nourishment from God and are just waiting for it. It's like the leaves are there bent towards the skies to receive that which is supposed to be given so that they could be sustained. A new plant is receptive to that falling rain. A plant in drought is certainly receptive to that falling rain. I ask us this morning, are we receptive to what God really wants to give us in his word? Opening up our leaves, so to speak, to receive that which God wants to give us, like he said in Deuteronomy 32. Ask ourselves, are there any channels in our life that are shut off from receiving God's advice and or his warnings, as Jesus and John both warned this generation then and this generation now? Eyes and ears and minds and hearts need to receive that which God wants to give us. Mouths and hands and feet need to respond to that which we have received. Because the message that is received is not just meant to be internalized. The message that's received from God is meant to be expressed in a world that needs to hear and see and feel what God wants us to share. John said to repent, and many didn't listen. Jesus shared hope and love, and many didn't listen. Did you get that in the latter part of that parable that was being shared, where John came neither eating or drinking? He was the one that was kind of sharing the dirge. He was the one who was sharing the bad news. The bad news is, guess what? You're far from perfect. Guess what? You're a sinner and you need saved. That's what John was sharing. And Jesus came to share hope and love. And in neither case did many people respond. Many didn't repent. And many didn't respond to the hope and love that Jesus had given them. The clueless and the indifferent, so many times, only because they wouldn't open their ears to receive. They didn't heed the warnings that were given. I encourage us to both dance the dance and sing the dirge. It sounds contradictory, doesn't it? To dance the dance and sing the dirge. Because both of them, I think, can coexist together. Dancing the dance is sharing with people the love of God, the grace and the mercy that is bountiful. The fact that there is no one that can fall outside of God's grace if they'll only listen and receive. but also to sing the dirge. The dirge is if we don't respond. If we don't respond, then hell is the result. We don't like to say that today. That didn't preach well at all. Didn't preach well in the church. It didn't preach well outside of the church. But we need to sing the dance, or dance the dance, and also the dirge. Take sin seriously and forgiveness elatedly. Because you see what's going on here? There's the dirge, which is sin. And there's the dance, which is forgiveness. You can dance when God says you are forgiven. You can dance when you realize that God has taken it and thrown it as far away as the east is from the west. You see that? People need to know that. It is then and only then when we can have the joy unspeakable. But as long as we're going to be a people that won't listen, as long as we're going to be people that are clueless and indifferent to what God wants for us, what John the Baptist and Jesus himself was trying to share with that generation and share with our generation as well, we miss out on it. We miss out on that joy unspeakable. We miss out on the dance that we can dance. If there's anyone in the world that ought to be able to dance, it's Christians. Now, if any of you get kind of a Pentecostal feel about you and we're singing the last hymn and you want to dance in the aisle, I don't care. Go ahead. It's not really our style here. But the point still is that we as the Church of Jesus Christ, if anyone ought to be able to dance, it's us. Right? Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. God, thank you for your truth and your word, which we sometimes don't heed. God, help us to hear. Help us, our ears, to hear more clearly. Help us, our eyes, to see more clearly. Help our hearts to respond more clearly to what you share with us. And we can also share that with others. God, we have a world out there and a culture out there that says other things. And these other things don't bring eternal hope. These other things don't bring the joy and the satisfaction that a relationship with Jesus Christ can. Help us, dear God, to heed the warnings, to dance the dance, and when we need to sing the dirge, because you love us that much. In Jesus' name, amen.